Here's a clip from the Dinner Party Download, the public radio show about popular culture and food. Check out more at dinnerpartydownload.org.
But first, it's time to learn some etiquette.
Yes, each week you send us your questions about how to behave. And here to answer them this week is Billy Bragg. His mix of pop, folk, punk, and protest music has won him a loyal following since the 80s. It's also won him a Grammy.
Yes.
Here's a clip from Handyman Blues off his new album, Tooth and Nail.
A screwdriver business just gets me confused. It takes me half an hour to change a fuse. And when I flick the switch, the light's all blue. I'm not your handyman.
Now, you've said the inspiration for this album came from a fan's tweet in which they coined a nickname for you. Mm. You want to tell us what that was?
Yeah, it was a woman talking about overcoming a breakup by listening to Billy Bragg. He's the Sherpa of heartbreak.
The Sherpa of heartbreak.
So perfect.
I just like the idea of my songs helping people, you know, doing the heavy emotional lifting for people.
You are known for your progressive politics and your political songs, but yes, you also have Greetings to the New Brunette, all these great classic love songs.
Yeah, people kind of like think of me as a political songwriter. And of course, I do write political songs, but really, you know, I write as many love songs, if not more. And while I don't mind being called a political songwriter, right, it really annoys me when people just dismiss me as a, you know, politics is just part of the show.
That's true. And I think I would say that your fans, actually, many of them are drawn to you by your love songs, and then they stick around for the politics.
Yeah. You know, even people who are into politics need a bit of emotional heavy lifting every now and then. You know, I'm often saying to people, you know, it's not either or. Life isn't all politics. Well, how boring would it be if it was?
My favorite is when you combine the two, like in one of your songs, you sing, "We're trapped in an ideological cuddle."
That's right, the ideological cuddle, yeah. And I mean, they are the best ones. I mean, I have another song called I Keep Faith, which is a song about you and your commitment to your partner, or it's about my faith in the audience's ability to make a difference, depending on how I pitch it.
Well, listen, your audience has made a difference in this show because they've sent in questions for you to answer.
Yeah.
And the first one is from Warbler.
Okay.
I love to sing along to music, even if I get some lyrics wrong. I consider it high praise to the song. I'm digging the music. Who cares if I make unintentional revisions? My sister seems to think I'm dissing the song and artist, though. If I can't sing it right, don't sing it. Thoughts?
Well, Warbler, I think you're getting to the very core of the creative urge there. Mm. It's by filling in the gaps yourself with your own imagination, you're adding to things. I know that people have come to me with lyrics that they've heard.
Misheard?
Totally misheard. And they get sometimes they're disappointed when I tell them it's not the right line, but the line they had is better.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Do you ever steal
there's a
them? Bit,
there's a song I have called Richard, which at the end of it I shout, "Here comes Richard," and somebody heard that as "In a Country Church," which is a nicer end to the song because it mentions marriage in the song.
Yeah.
And an interesting thing to do if you're in the music industry is to get the Japanese lyric sheet from your album and get some Japanese people to translate the lyrics into English for you. The line, "The milkman of human kindness," in Japanese had become "the delivery man of human love."
Wow.
Which is nice. So I think Warbler's getting to the very essence of songwriting. The way to learn to write songs is to take your favorite song, maybe even keep the chorus, and write new lyrics.
I've been ripping you off for years.
Feel free.
You did that with Beethoven. You wrote new lyrics to Ode to Joy.
I've done it with Beethoven. I've done it to Bob Dylan. You know, I have a song called Ideology that is basically using the framework of a song called The Chimes of Freedom.
Huh.
I was actually here in New York City. Someone came to me and said, "You're not going to believe this, Billy, but Bruce Springsteen has stolen your song, Ideology, and he's calling it The Chimes of Freedom." I said, we need to have a little chat, mate.
It's a circular thing.
Well, you come from a tradition, the Woody Guthrie, Bob Dylan. Yeah. I mean, everyone was borrowing from classics.
Yeah. That's what folk music is. But I think what Warbler's doing is he's engaging his brain in that creative process.
So, Warbler, there you go. Now you have an answer for your sister.
Absolutely. And if you do it right, maybe Billy will rip off your lyrics and put them in his song.
All right. So we have another question. This one comes from John in Burbank. John writes, "I couldn't be more opposed ideologically to some of my relatives, so politics are a surefire conversation killer. As a result, we end up falling into banal chit-chat about the weather, sports, etc. What's a safe but stimulating third way?"
Well, I mean, this may be a British thing, but
pornography.
Don't talk.
It's funny you should say pornography, Rico, because I was just about to say the second most popular search on the internet is genealogy.
Ah.
It's family history. And you Americans are pretty good on family history because so many of you are, you know, two or three generation immigrants. You actually know quite a lot about your own personal history in a way that we Brits who have been the same. I mean, that Look at Richard III. He's been under a car park in Leicester for 500 years.
That's right. They just found a skeleton.
Yeah. And, not as much to talk about.
Exactly. So engaging him in conversations about the, you know, about family history, your parents and your grandparents, they know a lot of esoteric stuff about whereabouts exactly was it in Central Europe that great-great-grandma came from.
Yeah, you're like, you know that CVS in Budapest? It's underneath that drugstore.
And it's that sort of thing that you know that parents often want to talk about anyway. All this stuff is really easy to find on the internet now, unless your name's Smith.
Yeah, in which case, just discuss religion. Always a safe topic.
Yeah.
Here's a letter from Kelly in Chicago. Kelly writes, the only moment of socializing that gives me anxiety is looking over the menu at a dinner date. Either I dutifully keep the conversation going and never get to take a good look at the menu, or I get lost in reading the menu and feel like dull company. Any advice on a middle ground?
I think most restaurants these days have their menu online, Kelly. I'd check it out before you go. Just make notes. Or go to one of those Asian restaurants where they just have little pictures.
Yeah.
And you just, in the end, you've got to stay engaged with the person, I think. And this is America. I mean, my experience, particularly in New York, you can never imagine what it's going to look like when it comes. You order something you think is going to be relatively easy to eat, and then something comes out of the kitchen that's like 3 foot tall and on fire, and you think, please don't let that be what I've ordered. Oh, my heavens.
You're like, here comes my oatmeal. Yeah.
I mean, a sandwich in the UK, I could make a sign by putting my hand horizontal like that.
Yeah.
That's a UK sandwich. Yeah. You put that in your mouth.
Yeah.
An American sandwich is like a fist. It's like, it's impossible.
Dripping with
so
glue.
I carry a mallet with me in America to get the sandwiches.
Just to flatten it down.
Get them flat so I can get my teeth around them.
There you go.
Kelly, there you go. If you...
There's your answer. Err on the side of engagement and bring a sandwich hammer.
Oh, I think it's just for English people, because remember, we have our socialized medicine teeth.
All right. This is our last question that we ask of all our etiquette guests. It is, what is the most memorable get-together you have ever been to? Who, what, where, details, please.
Oh, I once went to somebody's house, and there was a wonderful collection of people there. Among them was Joey Ramone.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't only memorable for that, but it was also memorable for the first time I encountered Trivial Pursuit.
You play Trivial Pursuit with Joey Ramone?
Yeah. With Joey Ramone.
How'd he do?
And the problem was, of course, probably among the first few times I came to America, so it would have been 84, 85.
Oh, it was the American edition?
It was the American edition.
It was really, really
difficult. So in order to try and hold back Joey and keep him from, you know, totally whitewashing me, I started making up the questions.
Really?
And yeah, I really did.
And he didn't notice?
No, no. I started putting English questions that I knew he wouldn't get. And eventually the final one that gave it away was I asked who played the lead in the Lassie movies.
And how did that expose your ruse?
Lassie never wore a lead.
That's what you said the answer was?
And that's when he asked to look at the card, and that totally blew it then.
What was wrong with Risk?
You know, that's probably I would play Risk if I met the Clash, maybe, or you know, me and the Smiths might play, I think.
Man, invite us over.
I thought Marcy was an Uno man.
Billy Bragg, thank you so much for telling our audience how to behave.
Thank you. Shirley, sexy politics has led me all over my bed. Shirley, we are joined in the ideological cuddle.
Billy Bragg, his new album Tooth and Nail comes out March 19th, and he'll be on tour to support it too.
Polite of him to be so supportive.
He's a supportive guy.
You know?
That was a clip from the Dinner Party Download. Check out more at dinnerpartydownload.org.